going on, guys? You're listening to episode number 13 of Belcore Radio. This is your host, Ponyboy.
And Unforgettable Mesa. And Unlucky Show number
13. Yeah. Hopefully it should turn out fairly okay.
We hope, anyway. So, I guess we'll go ahead and jump right into this. Unless there's any housekeeping you have to do, Ponyboy.
One thing, we finally got rid of the last CD for the contest, so a buddy of mine named War won it. He hangs out on the IRC channel a lot. He finally got in touch with me and said, I want the damn CD. So he won the contest, he answered the question right, and all that good jazz. So congratulations to War, and that's about all I have. Contest over.
So, but I'm guessing. Shit.
Yeah.
There's no more. So anyway. Jumping right in. We'll go ahead and do a thing about Skype 2.0. Now has video. And, not that big of a thing, because most people, if you're familiar with it, it's messengers like, AIM or LMSN or anything like that, you already used to video, you know, internet video and whatnot, with the users. But with Skype 2.0, it brings like a whole new level, like you can combine telephony with video, and it's like seamless, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, the listeners might remember, I think maybe two episodes ago, we actually talked about, I believe it was Yak for Free.
Oh, yeah.
Came up with a service just like this, and, you know, I hate to say I told you so, but I kind of said this was going to happen afterwards, that, you know, more and more companies were going to jump on this bandwagon. So I think that, you know, Skype jumping on it's just going to, I mean, that's going to drop the bomb, you know. There's going to be, everybody's going to be wanting to do video now.
Yeah, I completely forgot about Yak. I even have an account with it that I've used. But yeah, I mean, with Skype, it's completely different because Skype has, what, like 63 million people that use it. So, I mean, that's going to be, like, a fairly big thing. So, I mean, another thing they brought in that's not that big of a deal, but is avatars, which, you know, almost the messengers have now. And it's new functionality, like you can group contact lists together and do conference calls with a single click with, you know, certain groups of contacts and everything like that. And they're also working with, you know, web blogs and stuff like that to actually add Skype dial numbers onto the blog so people can just dial from there or whatever, which is pretty interesting. Skype is, you know, getting out there even more so now than ever before. So, oh, and besides that fact, they got to deal with, I think it was Creative and another company. Can't think of it off the top of my head. But they got together with them and, you know, making certified, you know, Skype certified, or Skype, what's the word I'm looking for, Skype approved, I guess is the word, Skype approved webcams. Like 1.3 megapixel webcams now, which is pretty cool. Awesome.
Sounds like it's going to be a pretty big thing coming up on the horizon, at least.
Yeah, I mean, hell, before long, maybe we'll be doing our shows where we actually, well, you know, actually see each other.
Well, hopefully soon we'll be doing our shows where we finish our damn studio and we are sitting in the same room.
Hopefully. Hopefully. Just be on the watch out for that, people, by the way. I know we said it was, like, going to be, like, a month ago, but you want to actually have lives outside of making this radio show, you know? So you just got to give some time.
Well, moving right along with the freak news here, this is kind of, I'm not sure, this is maybe about a week old that I read about this, so I'm not sure exactly what's developed since then, but, some of you guys might recall a while back there was a big stink about people not being able to call 911 on their it was specifically their Vonage accounts, but just with VoIP in general, it wasn't really, they didn't have like an E911 protocol to where, you know, they had to have it in like any emergency. And, Vonage, or the FCC basically told Vonage, you know, you've got until this day to do it, to get this thing working, or else. And, they haven't yet, so, and it's past their deadline. So, I do believe that there might be, kind of a big impact there as far as Vonage users go. I don't know if they're going to get rid of this, or make them stop giving service until they can provide, like, a reliable 911 contact service, you know, but.
I don't know. I think it's kind of ridiculous that, you know, if they expect people to, you know, a big user base to actually use it as, like, their home service, you know, and come on, provide some reliable 911 service. I mean, Jesus Christ, I mean, what the hell are they supposed to do if your house fucking catches on fire or you fall through a plate glass window or something like that? What the hell are you supposed to do, you know?
Well, I mean, it's not so much that they didn't have, you know, like a specific, I mean, I'm as far as I know, you could call 911 from your phone, but in an emergency with, let's say, like you said, like your house is on fire. Let's say your house is on fire and your power is not exactly working at the moment because, you know, your house is engulfed in flames. I mean, the good thing about your, you know, a normal hot telephone line, regardless, if your power goes out, your phone still works generally. As long as it's not, you know, some kind of cordless phone that has to be, you know, battery powered from like an electrical socket or something. Generally, you can pick up a phone and still make a phone call if you need to when the power's out, you know? But as far as with VoIP, when your power goes out, you know, your computer's not really gonna work. And so stuff like that that has to be hooked up like that just isn't going to run.
Very true. But I mean, even if, I guess if you're, say you're running an DSL or something like that, and you have a connected, DSL would still work anyways. I mean, like, say, you know, if you have some sort of battery-backed modem or something like that, you know? DSL modem?
Yeah.
It would still work because, I mean, you know, DSL runs through the phone line in the first place, so it's still, that would still work.
Yeah, I guess if it was able to be powered directly off of the DSL or the cable coming into your house, like broadband, if it could be powered off of that specifically, not have to rely on actual, like, voltage coming out of your wall, then it would probably not be as big of an issue, but.
Yeah, you know, whatever, let them figure it out. I just, no further comments on this situation, I gotta say. moving along, other freak-related news.
Well, sort of freak-related news. It's a telephone company, I think.
Well, yeah, so. It's a deal with phones, it's free. Deal with people. Bell South, you know, friend knows Bell South, of course. But they're wanting to charge for, like, what do they call it, paid for performance sort of thing, where they think the company should pay for one page to load faster than the other, like Yahoo to load faster than Google, or something like that. I mean, I personally think that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that seems kind of, I mean, that would make it so that, you know, any company, I mean, like, that would put smaller companies, websites, and, you know, things like that, that would just put them out of the game, you know? I mean, you'd have, you know, let's say there's a local bookstore or something that doesn't really have a lot of money, to just, you know, spare sending it to Bell South to say, hey, here you go, make my website load, like, at the speed of light. Whereas, you know, Amazon.com or something like that, they can say, you know what, here's, like, $1 million, Bell South. Just, when they turn on the internet, when they turn on their computer, I want it to go straight to our website. Before they even have the time to type, that's how fast I want it to load. And, I mean, you'd go, and, like, let's say you do a search for a specific book, and it comes up, you know, there's the link to the local bookstore, you go on it, and it takes, you know, 5 minutes to load a page, whereas if you go to Amazon.com, and it takes you, like, a nanosecond. So which one are you going to go to?
Yeah, well, another thing about that is, wouldn't that basically make, you know, how much you pay for bandwidth or whatever, wouldn't that make it useless?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, because if you have limited, like, say you have, like, a 215K connection, right? Well, and you have this site that can load extremely fast, it's not going to make any difference to you either way. If you're on a 215K second connection, so it's not really going to matter. And then for a site that, say, doesn't pay and they load really slow, that's going to, I mean, what's the point of paying for bandwidth if the site's going to load slow in the first place?
Yeah. It seems kind of dumb.
Yeah, it does.
It seems like a way for Bell South to make some extra cash and a way for big companies to steal business away from other smaller companies. That's all I can see out of this.
It is. It's ridiculous. And I for one hope that people aren't stupid enough to actually fall for this thing. Whatever. That doesn't make any sense anyway. I mean, would they do it based on, I mean, because what if not every company has, what if it's just Bell South? So is it just them putting money toward Bell South just so Bell South users can see it faster or slower or whatever? And then say somebody with a Delta or a Charter, it won't matter either way?
Well, I guess they, I mean, I don't see many companies, well, larger companies, yeah, just because they probably have the money to spare. But I don't really see many companies buying into this crap. Just because you make a really valid point there. It's just Bell South users. I use Comcast, so, you know, this page is going to load just as fast for me as it would for anyone else.
Now, I personally have Bell South. And, all in all, I mean, it never goes down. It's pretty damn fast, actually. Because I, you know, pay the extra money to have the fastest you can get on with Bell South, which I think is like 3 megabits a second, I think. But, with a 3 megabit connection, that is. And it's, all in all, it's pretty good. Might be 6. Either 3 or 6, I'm not exactly sure. I can't really care. Because I really don't care either way, honestly, right now. But, yeah. Whatever. No company don't buy into this crap because it's
basically hardened. Basically, fuck Bell South.
Yeah.
You know?
Pretty much.
So, yeah, that does it for our brief news for today. More or less. Yeah, I think that. Yeah, that covers it.
That's everything.
And, I want to talk about something that kind of makes me sad. Because, it involves one of my favorite bands. And I know several of the listeners to the show, I've talked to them on IRC and various things, and, you know, they're fairly big fans of the band as well. Specifically, Low Tech Mystic, I know is a huge, huge Grateful Dead fan. He uses their music all the time on his radio show that he does. But, yeah, the Grateful Dead have decided to, well, basically, they're telling archive.org to remove some archives they have of a free download site that had some of their music on it from, like, just kind of bootleg recording type stuff. Which sucks, you know? I mean, I think that that would kind of go against what archive.org is about. But,
it seems kind of like the whole Metallica thing with Lars, and being a little bitch about everything, and, the whole Napster situation. I believe putting it in Napster.
Yeah.
With Napster and Lars, Metallica. I'm but a little bitch. I don't see why you cared in the first place, because I can't remember if we talked about this on the show before, but artists don't make their money from the CD they sell. They make it from the merchandise they sell, so I don't really care. I don't understand why they care so much about it. The way I see it is, it gets their music out there more so people would buy their merchandise so they actually make money.
But, and I mean, I never would have expected something like this from the Grateful Dead specifically, just because I know for a long time, I mean, like, before Jerry Garcia died, they would encourage people to, you know, like, at their concerts, they would encourage people to tape their music, you know? Just bring in, you know, whatever, like, bring in whatever audio recording you want and tape this shit right now. And, I mean, because that's what they were about, you know? They were a crazy old hippie band. They wanted to share their music with everybody who wanted it, but I was reading through this article that I read just now, and apparently I didn't read the whole thing. They reversed their position on the whole thing, so it's all good now. But,
newsflash.
Yeah. Apparently they had a bunch of the band. Like the little fans of the band, they call themselves Deadheads. Nobody knows that. I feel kind of weird saying it. But they basically boycotted the band, like all their merchandise and everything because of this. And so they decided, hey, wait, no, it's okay. We're cool with it now that you guys are boycotting us. So
and we'll get more into that before you start talking about how bad everybody. Moving on to more piracy news. Now, about that time, somebody showed that people aren't just going to settle, you know, with the RIAA, but it seems that people now are actually hiring lawyers to, like, countersue, basically, the RIAA for suing them, which I think is very, very awesome. Like, take, for instance, in New York, there was a single mother that had five kids that hired a lawyer to find her copyright infringement suit, claiming a kid's friend may have downloaded copyright material without her knowledge, and everything like that. And so she just hired a lawyer, and his account is going against RIAA, which I think is, like I said, fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think that it's really good that, because I mean, you know, like you said, it's for, what, a good 3 or 4 years now that they've started doing this kind of crap, trying to sue people for file sharing.
Dude, in the last 2 years, it says that they've, like, sued 14,800 people for illegally downloading and streaming copyrighted material or music on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that I think that people are, you know, not just settling out of court anymore. They're saying, you know what, fuck you. We're not just going to pay you, like, $10,000 just because you guys are threatening to take us to court, you know. So, I mean, I think it's a cool thing. I think that it's about game time somebody stuck it to the RIAA, and I hope these guys win these lawsuits, you know.
I think there's a good chance they are, because if there's more people like me and you and, you know, our listeners hopefully out there, is that they'd be backing, you know, people going against big guys like that, you know? So I think if people, more and more people find out about this, they're, these people are going to have a lot of backing from other people. wrong. People may say, hey, yeah, Dari has a right to, but hopefully that's not the way people think, because that would suck.
Well, I mean, I can understand. They do, the RIA does have, you know, or they did at one point in time, at the beginning of this, I think, had a legitimate, honest stance against file sharing because they were afraid it was going to hurt them. But now it's just turned into a witch hunt, you know? It's just turned into the fact that, well, you know, we've told people we're going to do this, but they didn't stop. So now we have to do this regardless. It doesn't matter who it is. We can't, you know, we can't ease up on anyone. We have to lay down the hammer on everyone. And what sucks about that is, like the case you were talking about, it might not have been that person. That's the downside to computers, or piracy over computers. It could be, you know, it could have been some random kid who drove by and, you know, stopped off on their wireless network they had at the house and grabbed some shit through their connection so it would show up as their IP address, you know?
That is very, very true.
I mean, it's just, it's a hunt for something that you really can't find. You can't, there's no way you can prove that this person did it unless they have that on their computer, like right then and there. Or you have some kind of physical evidence that it was them, like they had to sign up for the service, like with their name. And
yeah, I mean, but even then, I mean, there's no telling somebody to go in there and sign up for that service with their name to make it seem like it was them, even though it really wasn't them that did it. So, I mean, all in all, I don't think they really have a valid case here because they can't exactly prove that that was the exact person that did it. So, I don't think they really have a right to go and actually sue somebody just because they have, you know, think they have evidence that they actually did it when they actually really don't have any evidence at all.
But then again, it could also fall in the same sense as like child pornography laws. Whereas, if you may not have downloaded it, but if you have it on your computer, you are breaking the law, and you can go to jail. So it might go along the same lines as that. Like if, you know, let's say I decided I didn't like you, I could call the police and say, hey, yeah, this guy's got child porn on his computer, you better go over there right now, and then write you an email with an attachment that's got a whole bunch of child porn in it, and just send it right when they get to your door, and when you open that thing up, there's that child porn, and they've got you. You know? There's no way to say, oh no, it wasn't mine, because it's right there on your computer. You should have been responsible enough to know what was on your computer, you know?
Child porn is just fucking wrong. Well, I think anybody that does it needs to be shot. But yeah, that's a different subject.
Yeah, we're not going to get into the child porn debate on this show. That's for a different episode.
But, I mean, I don't know, I just think it's ridiculous. But you're right, it could fall under something like that. But, I mean, I think there's a big difference between, you know, the child pornography thing and the music thing.
Oh, yeah.
The child pornography thing is just completely, like, and utterly wrong no matter what, but the whole music thing's not really that bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Downloading music doesn't hurt anybody physically or scar them for life like, you know, supporting child porn would.
Exactly. You know, they're not gonna, you know, downloading music is not gonna call somebody, they have to go to therapist shit.
But anyways, moving right along, because we cannot get through an episode without talking about some kind of porno.
I've noticed that we really can't. It's kind of sad, but whatever.
Some Linux news, which I'm kind of excited about. This is a pretty big thing. A little company, not many people have known about them. They're just some kind of little tiny startup company called Lockheed Martin, which, yeah.
I've never heard of them, ever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's apparently tied in somewhere for you know, the government defense program or something, but yeah, you know, it's no big deal. They switched to Linux for their missile defense timing computers and all that shit, which is pretty damn cool. They're using a distribution called Red Hawk Linux, which I've never really heard of until now, but pretty cool stuff, you know.
So, one question though.
Yeah.
Do you know if they were running Windows before?
I doubt they were running Windows, but I'm sure.
God, because if our missile defense relies on something like Windows for timing, I'd be a little scared.
Yeah, it was Windows XP Military Edition.
Windows XP LE?
Windows MIL.
Windows MIL, exactly.
But no, I'm pretty sure they probably weren't running a Windows distribution on their it was probably some kind of you know, proprietary operating system that probably wasn't all that good. So either that or this was just some new kind of computers that they were building for this program, and so they yeah, because it's saying right here that it says they selected it for this specific program, so I think this was a new program that they're working on, and this was the distribution that they decided to go with to control it, so.
Oh, that's cool. It's good to see, you know, more and more people starting to support open source like that. Of course, I don't know, I mean, I never heard of Red Hawk Linux. I wonder if that's some sort of special Linux that they had somebody come up with.
Well, it's apparently made by a company called Concurrent, which, I mean, I've never heard of it, but, you know, there's a lot of Linux distributions I've never heard of, so.
True. Well, I'll have to look into it. Maybe I can get a copy and see what it is. Probably, I know, that was probably not even, like, special, but, it's really interesting to see what the military's doing.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's probably, not a freely distributed, distribution, you know.
Probably not.
It's probably quite expensive to get.
Oh, man. Moving on, don't you just hate teenagers, people? Don't you hate teenagers, funny boy?
I sure do. I just wish that I wasn't a teenager, because I hate them so much.
Me too. I hate myself being a teenager.
Exactly.
Damn myself to hell. Anyways, have you ever wanted to get rid of, have any older listeners, if we have any, ever wanted to get rid of us naggy fuckers? Because I know if I was you, I probably would have. Well, now you can, because this guy come up with this little device called the Mosquito that repels teenagers. Apparently how it works is that teenagers and little kids can hear higher frequencies than, you know, older people can. So what you do is just set it outside and like emit a like really high frequency noise that apparently annoys the fuck out of you and makes you just want to leave the place extremely badly. Which is I guess kind of cool.
It kind of reminds me of the actual devices they have to repel mosquitoes, which is, you know, kind of ironic considering the name.
It's mosquitoes.
But I, you know, this sounds like a cool idea, but at the same time, it's gonna, you know, this is gonna have some bad effects. People are gonna be abusing this thing like all hell.
You know, it would be really, really funny. Did you go take one that's like a high school? Like a couple of them and just like sit them in the halls and shit? Or in the classroom themselves when the kids are all in there? Oh, that'd be so funny. I'd laugh.
I mean,
if I was still in high school, I would definitely do it.
Yeah, I don't know, that would just, I can just imagine, you know, like, any time... I mean, like, there's no way you could have... Like, on a subway or something. You're on... Let's say, if you live in Atlanta, you're riding MARTA somewhere. And you just turn that fucking thing off and, you know, toss it on the floor and get off at the next stop. Do you know how crazy that would drive people waiting for the next station? I mean, like, anywhere. Like, in a... Like a movie theater.
See, that'd be so awesome. You know, funny like me to see how annoyed people would get by the thing. Oh my god, I'm laughing at that. It'd be good times. This one, I think of it more as like a gag sort of thing than anything else.
Yeah.
If it really does work.
Well, I think they were mentioning it, that they gave it to test it out, the guy gave it to somebody who runs like a store that a lot of people kind of, you know, like the rough gangsta kids were hanging outside of his store all the time, you know, doing drugs and fighting and, you know, all the cool stuff gangsters do. And he basically would just turn this shit on and they went nuts because of this thing. Basically, like, they couldn't stand it. But, he told them that it was to keep away birds because of the bird flu epidemic. So they eventually just left.
Bird flu. That's funny.
I mean, I guess, you know, if you're at a place that you don't want teenagers loitering at because, you know, they're driving away your customers, I mean, you know, that's all the more reason to have this thing, you know. I know, there's probably quite a few of these stores around my old high school that probably would have loved to have these devices.
Oh, definitely. I know places around my old high school that would definitely love to have something like that. Because they all hang around in front of the stores and everything, because it's like it was this downtown area with all these shops and shit.
Yeah.
And I they would definitely love something like that.
But, moving on to some more cool stuff, which I think is cool.
Some more stuff, cool stuff, that I think is cool.
Exactly. New Orleans, you know, the city that, people have heard about it lately in the news, you know, you might, it's a little place in Louisiana, you might have heard of it.
Little party called the Mardi Gras.
Yeah, got hit by this little hurricane thing. They're getting a free Wi-Fi network put up in I'm assuming probably the downtown area of New Orleans, which, actually it says it's, covering the central business district and the French Quarter, which is, probably makes more sense because that's gonna, you know, you're going to have a lot of people, tourist-wise, going to check out the French Quarter more so than you are going to have checking out the downtown area, but it doesn't really help most of the citizens of the downtown area.
Of course.
Still cool, though, nonetheless. I mean, I think as far as getting to kind of rebuild the city after it got really fucked up, you know, I think that this is kind of an interesting one of the first steps to it, you know?
Yeah. That is really awesome. I hope to see, like, more and more cities like that doing things like that, because, I don't know, I think it'd be better when, I mean, you know, you have, like, internet connection anywhere in the city, basically. You know? Moving on to more tech-related news.
Yeah, an awesome invention that I've dreamed of every day since I was born. You know, who doesn't like to listen to some awesome rock and roll music and jam out on your air guitar, you know? I mean, everybody does it. You might, you know, I'm sure most of you guys are probably, you know, late night in your room with the blinds closed, listening to your I don't know, what do the kids listen to these days?
I'm getting old, funny boy, I don't even know anymore.
Listen to your Coldplay, and your yellow card or whatnot, and jamming out on your air guitar. I mean, personally, I'm, you know, sitting in my room listening to the oldies, because I'm stuck in decades before I was actually born.
And I just listen to music that nobody's ever heard of before, basically.
A company, a university, some people at a university developed a virtual air guitar, which basically, I mean, you stand in front of some kind of camera type thing with little electrode things on your hands, and it kind of figures out generally from where the distance of your hands are and whatnot while you're playing, where that would be on a guitar, and it makes that sound that the guitar would make.
That's actually kind of cool, to be able to sit there and actually play air guitar in a way that's actually just made from doing it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, on the downside, though, you find out that you even suck at air guitar. So
you would feel bad about yourself.
But, I mean, at the same time, like, people who play guitar, do you know how awesome this would be for a person who plays guitar to just be able to, like, go stand in front of their computer and, like, move their arms around and make an awesome song and not even have to own a guitar to do it?
That is pretty damn cool. It's a future point, boy. No more instruments. It's all going to be virtual from now on.
I wouldn't doubt it, man.
That'll be the day people get up on stage and they don't even actually have instruments. It's crazy. Absolutely nuts. Moving on yet again. Scientists need to be on your guard because ET might be a malicious hacker. Or a malicious hacker. I can't even talk right today. A malicious hacker.
Yeah, some scientists are starting to think that kind of, what's the word I'm thinking of? I guess extended networking or, God, I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of.
You can't think of the word you're trying to think of.
Shut up. It's late, man. It's late. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what the word is. But, you know that thing where you sign up your computer and while you're not on it, it does things that kind of help? I don't know.
Yeah,
distributed networking is the word I'm thinking of.
Because you're making us, what the hell are you talking about?
Alright, a lot of people are familiar with the SETI project, which is the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Of course.
And, you know, you're probably familiar with SETI at home, which is basically where you can donate your computer while you're not using it, or this program will run in the background while you are using it, to basically help run this network that tries to contact aliens. And, it's a pretty cool thing. But, apparently, I'm not even really sure why the scientists are concerned about this, but scientists are concerned that this is some kind of big problem that's going to mess up a lot of computers. I'm not really sure about what's going on here. I haven't really read all of this article. It was just the last thing I added on the show notes. do you have any enlightenment to shed on us here, Lisa?
Apparently, I think it's some guy, or it's the scientist, that is, think that aliens are sending signals or something like that to hack into the computers for the distributed network that SETI's running. And, which, you know how these weird crackpot scientists type are, they're like, think that aliens are going to hack some of our computers or something like that. It's just something ridiculous like that, you know? Nothing to actually be concerned about.
So yeah, it's really just some kind of weird crackpot guy, is what you're saying.
Basically. I mean, I'm not saying he may be right for all I know, but I'm just saying from a normal, uncrackpotted idea, you know, is that he's a crackpot.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems kind of nuts to me. I don't know.
Hey, seriously, it's like stupid, basically. Whatever, you know, for all you conspiracy theorists out there, you can decide for yourself about this whole situation. And
I guess this is going to be kind of considered a weekly hack right here, even though it's not really a how-to type thing. It's just a cool thing that I read about. Because, well, I don't know, do you have anything planned to do for the weekly hack, and we could just use that?
I do, actually. Something okay. I did today, as a matter of fact.
Awesome. Well, let's get through this, and then, alright, cool.
Yeah. I meant to bring it up earlier, but I completely slipped on. But, I don't know about all you people there. I don't know how many of you own or even care about cell phones that much, but as Pony Boy knows, I'm an extremely big cell phone fanatic. I love my cell phone. My cell phone is my baby. I know, I just love modding them. I love the Temple Mount, you know, whatever. But, I've been hearing about this, you know, I was there when it very first happened. But, as most of you know, you can't, like, usually just unlock your cell phone by yourself. You have to buy these expensive things called, like, smart clips and stuff like that, that does a hardware unlock on your phone. Unless you have certain brands of Nokia, then you can, you know, get IMEI numbers, you know, generated, you know, or they take your IMEI number, and they can generate a subsidy unlock code for you. Well, on Motorola phones, you can't do that. Motorola phones, you have to have them usually software or hardware unlocked by those expensive things like $800 called a smart clip, which is, in my personal opinion, is totally not worth the money. But, I've been keeping up with this for a while, and I finally decided to go through with it today on my phone because I was bored earlier today. But what you do, you can unlock your Motorola V551 just by going in using software called Flash Backup. You make a whole copy of your phone just in case, and you make a PDS copy, and you take it into this thing called, you take the PDS copy or backup, upload it into a software called PDS Editor. You take it, you go to a certain address, hex address, you hit step backwards, and what this does is when you hit step backwards, it'll take it back. It'll revert the software, or not the software, but it'll revert the file back to before they put the subsidy unlock code on it when they sold it to Singular. Now, how that works is that the PDS files, it keeps a history of all, you know, the changes that has been made in it before. Like, when they put the manufacturer lock on it, then when they put the subsidy unlock on it, it keeps it all in the history. So when you do that, it steps it back to before they put the subsidy unlock code for it on there. And lets you, you know, remain your Bluetooth address if, because the V551 has Bluetooth on it. You just do that, upload it back to your phone using Flash Backup, and there you go, you have a completely unlocked Motorola V551 for no money, no more money than it costs to buy a data cable for it. Because all the software that you use for it is free. Now, that's really awesome because what that also means is that you can say you get tired of Singular or T-Mobile or whatever and you want to switch carrier. You can use any carrier that's GSM or GPRS, you know, any GSM or GPRS network, you know, which Singular is because, you know, you got CDMA phones and you got GPS, or not GPS, GSM and GPRS. So basically any cell phone company that uses a SIM card, you can use it, your phone on there. And it also adds value to your phone because if you want to go and sell it on eBay, unlocked phones run like $100 more than just normal, you know, locked to singular, like, T-Mobile phones.
Hmm.
So, that's it for the weekly hack just today.
Sounds awesome.
It is very awesome. I was extremely happy. I tested it out today and it worked and I was like, hell yeah. And I spent like, I think it was like $8 for the cable and that was it. And it adds like $100 value onto my phone now.
Hmm.
I wanted to sell it. So, I mean, hell, it's fucking awesome.
Now, is this a, what kind of phone was this again?
It's a Motorola V551.
Awesome. And,
yeah.
Do you know if, I know a lot of them you can upload various, like themes and stuff to it. I know you can do it with the Razer. I don't know if you can do it with, I've heard
yeah.
other ones too that you can do it with, but I just read an article about this in a magazine.
Oh yeah, on iPhone, see, the way that the Motorola V551 and the Razer V3 are the same exact phones except in two different shells. That's the only difference. It's the same exact software and hardware and everything except they're just two different types of shells. And I have my phone pimped out with like half the memory full of different skins and themes and stuff that I use. So whenever I get bored with one, I just switch it over to the next, and the next, and the next. And work with those, I just delete them and upload some emails back onto it.
What we need to do then is we need to make a Velcro radio skin for the Motorola phone.
That would actually be pretty. I was actually thinking about making a skin. I was looking at that today. It may take a little while because, you know, I've never really messed around with it before, but, I don't know, it didn't look like it would be that hard to do, so I think, actually, that I would do that, and then we could host it up on the side or something like that.
Yeah.
Along with the how-to and shit,
yeah.
You know, how to do it.
Well, what, I'm still kind of interested in talking about this thing that I had kind of grabbed at the last second for the weekly hack. Just kind of a cool thing that somebody did, and, I thought it was really, a neat little hack they did. Basically, they took a USB MP3 player and an old NES controller, like the original Nintendo system, and just they basically gutted out the inside of the Nintendo controller and just put the MP3 player inside. And wired it all up to where the buttons on the controller controlled the MP3 player. Like, you press the start button, and it would turn the thing on and play a song. And just, like, you know, just different, you know, button, like the D-pad, I think, would change to the next song or whatnot. Just a cool thing that I was gonna kind of talk about. They don't put a lot of detail into how you would wire everything up, which kind of makes me sad. I was wishing that they would actually supply some better information on how to actually do it, but I guess they want to keep their hacks to themselves.
Oh, it didn't look like it'd be that hard to do. I bet if I could get a hold of, or hell, you could even do it with a Super Nintendo controller, probably.
Hmm. I mean, they're not really that different, so.
Yeah, they're really not, but I just think I like the idea of, you know, the retro look to it, you know?
Yeah.
Hell, if I can get a hold of one, since they don't give details on it, maybe I'll get one and try it out myself, see what I can do. That'd look like be kind of a cool project to do, you know?
Well, I got a couple phone numbers that I want to call. I didn't get to put them on the show notes because I just found them a second ago, but, if that's cool with you, I'm going to go ahead and call these things. Three-way them in here.
Also, to all our viewers, right quick, hey, I want to apologize if our show seems disordered and whatnot, but me and Pony Boy have been extremely busy lately. So I just want to, you know, tell our listeners that, you know, we're sorry if the show just kind of seems thrown together because we've been, like I said, really, 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 really busy lately, but just wanted to get that out of the way before I forgot.
Alright.
I know that's kind of random and thrown in there, but figured I might as well. Anyways, go ahead, Bunny Boy.
Just a second.
Alright.
Alright. Okay. The first number, which, I have an odd feeling that you've actually called this before, but I don't remember, and I don't want to wait until the next episode because I'll forget. But, another one I grabbed off of, off the BinRev forums. Our good buddy, I don't know how to officially pronounce his name. I know, from what I've heard on, you know, on BinRev Radio, it's Natus. Personally, I say Natos, just because it's Satan spelled backwards, and if you say Satan and then play it backwards, it comes out as Natos and not Natus. But, anyways, it's a cool number that it's supposedly a company in Japan that has some really awesome old music, and, the number is 800-944-8952, so, I'm gonna three-way that in real quick, and I hope I don't hang up on Black Mesa. If I do, I'll try and call you back. Alright, so, 2 seconds. You there? Awesome. That's an international ring, by the way, people.
Yo, what over there? What time is it?
Extension 2?
Hello?
Do you speak, English?
Who do you like to talk with?
I need to talk to Mr., I can't seem to remember his name. I know the extension. Can you just connect me to the extension?
Extension?
Yes, the...
You didn't know the person name?
No, I can't seem to remember what his name was, but I remember what his extension number was. Can you connect me to his extension?
Sorry, we didn't have an extension number.
Oh, you don't? I'm sorry, ma'am.
Yes?
Well, ma'am, could I ask a favor of you?
Can I have your name and a company name?
Could you just put me on hold for just a second?
Oh, do you want me to talk with you?
No, can you put me on hold for a second?
Sorry, I can't understand you.
Can you put me on hold?
What? Who do you want to talk with?
I'm sorry,
ma'am. We're a wonderful company.
I'm sorry I'm wasting your time.
I can't understand you.
Okay. It's okay, don't worry about it. Just hang up.
See you later, bye-bye.
Okay. A note to our listeners.
Oh my god,
don't try to social engineer stuff when you don't know anything about what you're doing. Okay, so I'm gonna brush up on my Japanese and we'll try that again some other time.
No, it wasn't that you didn't know what you were doing, it was the fact that you didn't speak English very well. You're like, who would you like to speak with? Can you just put me on hold for a second? What? Can't understand you.
I'm sorry, that was so funny. Alright, so we're gonna try that one again on a later episode from here, just because I really, really want to hear this whole music now. But, I got another number here, which... Okay, there was another Hacker Radio show that I loved, and I know a lot of our listeners were fans of it. I mean, you know, some of you still are. It's not, they don't make it anymore. But it was called Radio Freak America. Hosted by everyone's good buddy, Dual Parallel. And, I was talking to him the other day, and we somehow in the conversation got brought up a phone number that was kind of a long-running gag on their show called the Haitian Hotline. Which basically is, it's like a swap meet, a Haitian swap meet, which this is a payphone inside the building that is supposedly never gets picked up. There's always someone on the phone. And so I went and dug up the number out of the old Radio Freak America archives, and I've been trying to get through on this line for quite a while now, and I thought that it might be kind of cool if we called it on this show, and, you know, we might end up making this a regular thing at the end of every episode, just because I really want to get in touch with somebody at this place, just because I don't think they ever did. But, the number is 954-321-8985, and, I'm going to call that one, and I'm going to use a great calling for this, just because I can't afford to pay long distance like that. So, he'll hang on for just another second, Black Mesa.
Alright.
Welcome to GreatCalling.com. Please enter your PIN number followed by the pound sign. Please enter the telephone number you wish to call followed by the pound sign. One moment, please.
You there, Mesa?
Yeah.
Awesome. Come on, Haitian Hotline. Oh, it's busy. Damn it. Hello?
You yes.
Alright, cool.
Yes.
Thought I lost you for a second there. Alright, so couldn't get through on the Haitian hotline today. I guess we'll have to give it a try next week.
Maybe it'll be a weekly thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking it should be, because that number's driving me nuts. It really is. And I know Duel would probably love to hear somebody finally get through on it.
I know, right? Maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe one day we'll get through it. Maybe. Any other numbers for us, Pointable, or is that
Well, let's see what I can grab here real quick. Well, we could find out what the weather's like in Toronto, if you'd like.
Sure, let's find out what the weather's like in Toronto. Probably cold and windy.
Alright. Yeah, this number was posted up on Binrev by everyone's good buddy, Decoder. So, you know, as you guys might recall, we've called about 3,000 numbers on the show by Decoder. So, basically, he's submitted on these forums, like, every number we've called, almost. But, this is, a number for the local weather number in Toronto. And the number is, 416-661-0123. And, I'm gonna use a great calling for this one as well, so, if you'll hang on for just a second, Black Mason.
Alright.
Welcome to GreatCalling.com. Please enter your Please enter the telephone number you
You there?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Welcome to Environment Canada's Weather Information Service. Weather conditions at 12 midnight. Toronto. International Airport, cloudy, temperature minus 5, relative humidity 74%, wind west-northwest 13 kilometers per hour, wind chill minus 10, barometric pressure 101.81 kilopascals and falling. Toronto, downtown, temperature minus 4. Toronto City Center Airport, minus 4, wind west 4 kilometers per hour. Markham, Buttonville, minus 6, wind west-southwest 6 kilometers per hour.
So, pretty interesting stuff there.
Very.
I'm curious if there's anything set up like that around, specifically around Atlanta. I mean, just, I've heard of a few of them in, you know, various parts around the U.S., like, I think there's one in New York. But I haven't, I mean, I rarely see any cool numbers posted for Atlanta. So if anybody knows of a number like that, or around here, or, the local time, because, you know, most places have a number you can call and find out exactly what time it is. If you know any of those numbers, because I've been looking for them for a while, and, I can't find them in any of the scans that I do. So just, you know, email it to us. We'll call it, give you props and all that good stuff.
Of course. I think that about wraps it up for this episode. What do you say, Pony Boy?
Yeah, I think that's about it. It's time for me to get to bed.
Yeah, same here. I'm pretty damn tired myself. So, what is, Mesa signing off?
This is Pony Boy, saying see you later. And, before I go, I wanted to give some shouts to one of our listeners out there in Radio Land. Goes by the name of Subnet. He sent me a message a little while before we started recording and just kind of told me that he liked the show and, you know, had a little chat with him. So, real cool guy. So, shout outs to Subnet. And before I forget, kind of psyched about this one. Before, let me start off by telling Mesa the thing that you're going to think about after I mention this, don't talk about it, because we're not supposed to talk about it yet. But, there's a little hacker convention in Cleveland called Nauticon, which is, quite a ways away. It's in April, April 7th through the 9th, and, I've known that I was going to be a part of it for a while, but today, officially, they released a list of the first six speakers that have been approved for the con, and I'm on the list, so, all of you who are listening to this are supposed to go there, okay, and you're supposed to see this talk, and see all the other talks, and enjoy yourselves, and, there might be another surprise coming up that me and Mesa will tell you guys about when it's certain, but, yeah, it's going to be a presentation about payphone, the evolution of the payphone and payphone freaking, so if that's your thing, come check it out. You know, there's a lot of other different talks that should be really interesting, or you can get drunk with droops, because that's what HackerCons are about. But,
exactly.
Yeah, just check it out. You know, their website is notacon.org. It's gonna be a fun time. So I recommend everybody go. And if you register now, I think, pre-registration now is $40. After the first 100 people, it gets jumped up to $50 and so on from that. So, you know, your best bet will be to register as soon as you can and, you know, just plan on attending.
And the best part is, Tony will be there, so
yeah.
You'll be able to see us.
Yeah, you might be able to take part in, and a little bit of Velcro Radio goodness.
Exactly. So, we're just that off.
Yeah.
Us being there should be enough for you people to go.
Yeah. Because we just have, we have that kind of power. Just us existing in Ohio should make people flock.
It should.
But, yeah. But, yeah. That, just thought I'd throw that in because, you know, I've been talking about it nonstop since I found out. And, but that's gonna do it for this episode. So, until next time, as we say every week, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun.
And always keep out of trouble.
Yes, and don't pirate music, because you can go to jail.
Yeah, but then you can always count to the RIA, so whatever.
And always drink your milk and stay in school.
And eat your vegetables.
Yeah, and, end the file.